Falcons fans, welcome back to another edition of the FalconCast podcast here on AtlantaFalcons.com. Daniel Cox, Jay Adams here once again for another edition. We're having to record it a little earlier this week. I am going out of town this week. By the time you hear this, I will be enjoying the lovely weather of Austin, Texas.
Yes.
And perhaps some barbecue as well.
Do you have big plans? You're going to see some bands while you're there?
No, I wish. No, it's all, you know, boring conferences,
yeah,
things like that.
They're not all boring, though. This is the NFL. So.
No, but what I would feel most people would find boring. I don't, because I'm a big nerd.
Eh.
But, you know, it'll be an interesting time.
Yeah.
I'll learn a lot of things that I can bring back here.
Good.
And help us be better.
Absolutely.
You and me.
There you go.
All right. Well, we have no guest today, and it's not because we couldn't find one. We just, it's tough to put all this stuff together on short notice. So.
Yeah, this is an early edition.
Early edition.
This is the early edition.
Early edition. Podcast. We're still going to give you guys 110% of what Daniel and I have. So, no guests, so we're not going to talk. I'm going to talk to the experts and see what's going on there. Instead, you know, we're just going to kind of go over what was a big week in Falcons history, really, when you kind of look at everything.
Yeah.
Obviously, Friday, the news came down that Michael Turner, John Abraham, and Donte Robinson were being released. And those are three big moves.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at everything that Thomas Dimitroff and Mike Smith have done in the last 5 years, that's about as big a move as there's been. And, you know, three guys that I'll just say on a personal level, always nice, personable guys. And it's the hard part of the business for us.
Absolutely.
Because you get to know these guys, you get to talk to them. And,
Longer you spend here, you know, you start to get to know some of these guys, and when those cuts sometimes do come, they, you know, it's like it's a coworker, you know,
basically,
in some ways, and you're not going to see them really anymore.
Yeah. It's tough.
Disappointing.
It's tough. It's my least favorite time of year for that reason. Obviously, you know, it's tough to measure the impact that that these guys had on the organization. In fact, I should say it's kind of easy to measure that impact.
Yeah,
because
this is true.
Michael Turner goes down as, you know, obviously we don't know he's going to play or what he's going to do, but he, you know, won't be here. But, you know, he goes down in Falcons history as one of the best running backs that's ever laced it up for the Falcons.
Absolutely.
John Abraham, one of the best defensive ends that has ever put on a Falcons uniform.
Mm-hmm.
Donte Robinson didn't have the impact on the record books, but certainly an impact on the defense, an impact on the way the Falcons played this year, this past year, years past. Really felt he found a groove this past year.
Yeah.
You know, that's just part of the business.
Yeah, you know, John Abraham is one of those guys that I'll always link to the Falcons, even though he's started his career with the Jets in 2000. But I wrote an article for the website like three years ago, kind of discussing Abraham's chances for the Hall of Fame, and you know, and that's we'll know, you know, in due time whether that'll happen or not. And he's probably a fringe guy at best in some people's eyes, but. You know, second on the Falcons franchise sacks list, and he's still the active sack leader. Jason Taylor retired a couple of seasons ago, and John Abraham moved into that top slot, and I'm confident he will be playing next year, and he'll continue to get sacks. You know what? I think it was 10 he had last season, and I think we undersell one of his key stats, and I don't have it in front of me, but it's the forced fumbles that he's created.
I think it was like 44, 43, 44.
And I heard in one of his interviews on Friday afternoon here in Atlanta, I know he said the forced fumble thing was something he was still chasing. Like he wanted to play just as a personal goal. I think he wants to have the all-time record, and I don't know what that is, but he had mentioned that as something, one of his personal goals, and You know, I certainly hope he gets it. He's one of those guys. He's the predator, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what more can you say?
And you bring up an interesting point because, you know, you talk about these kinds of guys who were brought in and the impact that they had. And I really think this is an exciting time in Falcons history, and I think that a lot of fans realize it, but those that don't need to just stop and look around for a minute.
Yeah.
Because this is the past 5 years have probably been the most impactful of this organization in its 47, 48,
yeah.
49-year existence. And I really think that the last 5 years, it's guys like Michael Turner, it's guys like John Abraham,
yeah.
who have, and obviously, you know, you're Matt Ryan, Roddy White, Tony Gonzalez, all these guys. I mean, this is a very special time in Falcons history. And I think that when you look back on it 5 years from now,
yeah.
okay, it's like you said, you're always gonna identify Abraham as a Falcon.
Yeah.
I will too. Michael Turner, he played for San Diego for years, whoever he plays for next, but he's still always going to be a Falcon.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think I brought this up on Friday because I think it's a good question. And apparently, according to fans, I mean, there's just no debate about it, that these two guys belong in the Ring of Honor someday. And I think I'm on board.
Yeah.
I think both of those guys, the impact that they had on the organization, the turnaround, the, you know, their roles in the turnaround, I think it's hard to deny either one of them a spot. And people's opinions varied. It was either one was a slam dunk and one was maybe going both ways on that.
That's
but,
interesting.
Or, you know, everybody was like, oh, there's not even a debate. But nobody was like, oh, outright no way should those guys be in it.
Yeah.
So, to me, I feel like this is not the last we've heard of these guys.
No.
You know, these are two guys that you're going to identify as Falcons for years and years and years to come.
I think that would be fantastic. You know, and you talk about the five-year span, and I was just thinking, you know, outside of a quarterback, you know, obviously Matt, but what player on each side of the ball has had, you know, maybe the most impact or the utmost significance in that five-year time? And you can certainly make a case for Turner as the offensive MVP. Maybe not so much last year, and that was certainly, you know, as the offense opened up, the passing game became more prevalent. But in the first three seasons that he was here, from 08 to 10, running the ball the way he did, I mean, he was such a factor on offense. I wouldn't go as far as to say he carried the offense, but he was such a dynamic threat. And then there's Abe on the other side rushing the passer. I'll never forget that Thursday night game against Jacksonville. He was just, it's like, he was truly the predator that night. And poor Blaine Gabbert. Was it Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah.
As a rookie. I think the Jaguars replaced the left tackle once or twice during that game. And, oh, man, it was just, he was just on a mission that night. I think he did have two forced fumbles that night as well. He was just a monster. And these two guys, and I think that's definitely what makes it, you know, so difficult for fans, I think, is because they were so impactful. They had such a significance to their franchise in the last 5 years.
Yeah, and, you know, you talk about this impact. Let's talk about, real quick, Michael Turner's impact in particular, because at the running back position, and there have been some very good running backs in this organization.
Yeah.
You've had William Andrews. You've had Gerald Riggs.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Anderson.
Yeah.
Warrick Dunn. You've had guys that have come in and been those workhorses and really carried the ball well for this team. But then Michael Turner comes in a very short period of time, puts his name not only right with those guys, but in some cases above. And Turner leaves with 9 team records, and I'll just rattle off a couple here. Most rushing yards in a game, most career rushing touchdowns, most career 100-yard games, most points scored in a game, that's a tie with TJ Duckett, most touchdowns in a season, most rushing touchdowns in a game, also tied with Duckett, most touchdowns in a game, and most consecutive games with a touchdown. Just a small sampling of the records that Michael Turner holds in his 5 years here. And, you know, when you really think about that, you really put it into perspective. I know that everybody was in the last year was kind of down on him mm-hmm. because of the production, and whether that's part of the new offensive philosophy or him just getting older,
yeah.
you know, whatever it is, say what you want to, but the impact that this guy had on this organization cannot be denied.
Yeah. You know, you think back to that first game in Detroit in 2008, and everybody remembers that game as, you know, the first pass that Matt threw. I was just curious, so I went back and looked. First Michael Turner run as a Falcon. It was the first play of that game against the Lions in 2008. He ran for 9 yards, so for what it's worth.
Yeah.
Then on the next possession, he got a touchdown.
And in that game, he finished that game with 220.
220, yeah. Two touchdowns.
And it's amazing.
And that was, you know, and Matt threw the pass to Michael Jenkins, that long pass, his first pass in the NFL, 62 yards. And that was, and thus the current state of the Atlanta Falcons began.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean, that game really kind of turned everything around.
Yeah.
And, you know, Turner was just as much a part of that impact as anybody was. So,
John Abraham had 3 sacks in that game.
It's amazing.
That's crazy.
Yep.
what a day that was.
It's amazing. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we've got a lot of great memories.
Yeah.
From those guys. So, you got any more? Any other memories that?
You know, the thing about Donte Robinson to me is I always appreciate how willing he was to speak to, and I say the media, and I guess in some ways you and I can be looped in there, and we can also not be looped in there, but anybody that wanted to come, you know, any media session on during the week, Donte was usually at his locker. He never turned down somebody, you know, that wanted to come up and speak to him for a minute, you know, get a quote or two. I always appreciated his openness, his willingness, and he was usually one of those guys after a game, win or loss, that would stand in his locker and just face the music, whether it was good music or bad. He would, mm-hmm. He would kind of represent the defense, at least the secondary, and he would certainly be the mouthpiece for them. And I'll never forget when, after the Saints game, when they ended Drew Brees' streak and ended all a lot of things, really, when this past season, he was leading that chant that the secondary, who had an amazing game as a unit, it was something like, "Don't believe is
it was Trinidad James."
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and he was leading it, and I always appreciated Donte's again, openness and just willing to just kind of own up to anything that happened on the field.
Yeah, I completely agree. And from the moment he stepped foot in this organization, you could tell he had that personality. He was, you know, a guy who cared about other people, mm-hmm. you know, whether you were, you know, one of the equipment guys, one of his coaches, or
absolutely,
or the guy who takes the trash out. I mean, he cared about you. And so... Yeah. Certainly sad to see those guys go. However, I mean, this is part of the business, and certainly not easy decisions on the front office's part. But my feeling is that, you know, years from now, there's a couple of those guys who are still going to be remembered very fondly.
Absolutely.
In Falcons lore. So let's get on to Falcons Flash.
Falcons Flash.
There it is. That's when you know it's coming.
Yeah.
Just the most interesting thing that may have caught our eye during the week. And Daniel, you're going to get away from the theme a little bit here with your most interesting thing, which I'm excited to hear about.
Okay, cool. It caught my eye, and it just kind of made me think ahead and think back. Pat Jasinskas from ESPN.com, NFC South blogger, I think. Yeah, this was on March 1st. This was the end of last week. It's a weekly column that they do, 8 in the Box, discussing quarterback situations, or just a topic in this particular week. It was quarterback situations. You know, in the NFC South, there's not really any kind of quarterback controversy. Most of all four starters are reasonably well entrenched at their position, but you know the backup situation is always interesting, and we've heard that the backup can sometimes be the most popular player on a team in a town. We have Luke McCown, and he's scheduled to be a free agent, so we'll see what happens with that. But there's that young guy, Dominique Davis from ECU. My brother went to school there. You know, he's funny because last season he, and in the preseason, especially during training camp, about halfway through, this kid started to draw as much media attention as some of the other, you know, veterans on the staff. And it was so funny that, you know, I remember standing and I counted, you know, about eight media members around him one day for a post-practice interview, and I was just thinking to myself, this is a third-string quarterback, and he's a rookie, and we have a franchise quarterback in position, yet this kid has eight media members talking to him. I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the backup position, you know, and how it's handled heading into training camp. I think Dominique Davis has a shot to be the number two guy next year, and I think he has an interesting skill set. And while Matt's not going anywhere, it's obviously helpful to have, you know, a quality backup. But I feel like he's a guy that can show some things this year, maybe next year as well. And he's kind of got that read option. He's a mobile kind of guy. Some of that skill set. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And he's a valuable piece, you know, down the line, a year or two down the line, based on some of the things he's shown in the preseason. Maybe he's able to move on to a better situation for himself with another franchise, and maybe the Falcons can recoup, you know, a pick or something like that. I know, you know, those trading of the backups sometimes happens in the NFL, and you can usually get a nice pick. And that's how Matt Schaub ended up in Houston. You know, the Falcons got a second round, I think maybe even two of them. So, you know, he's just a guy that's, I'm going to definitely curious, you know, later this year as training camp starts to kind of see how he does. I'm definitely excited. He performed very well last season in training camp and during the preseason and his limited opportunities, you know, and a whole season of seasoning. I'm really excited to see what he can do. And, you know, maybe he's a commodity, you know, for a little further down the line.
Yeah, and it honestly wouldn't surprise me. And I'm like you. I think that that I'm interested in seeing what he does this coming preseason, and how he can. You know, he's got another year under his belt, and just to kind of see what he does in training or mini camps, training camps. Yeah. You know, all that. You know, who knows if he could opt to come for rookie mini camp as well.
I wouldn't be surprised.
And you know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, just how much he's progressed in the last year.
Yeah.
Smart kid, good head on his shoulders.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, very impressed with him.
Grounded. Absolutely.
Just in being around him, talking to him, just seems to really have his head on a very good level. Mm-hmm. And great arm strength.
And
he can throw a rocket.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's mobile, you know. I mean, mm-hmm. he's got some wheels. He's at the dentist today, though. I can tell you that.
On Twitter?
It was Instagram. He just sent out a picture. He's getting a massage in the chair at the dentist.
At the dentist?
Yes.
What kind of dentist?
These high rollers, man. These athletes.
I need to get his dentist name from him.
Yeah.
Can use my teeth being looked at. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, that's kind of what we do with Falcons Flash.
Yes,
well,
sir.
I've got another one.
All right.
I'm going to change. Up from what I've got on the script, I've got another story that I remembered.
Oh, man.
That I know. Should I go ahead and mention this one?
We can mention it.
All right. So my original was going to be the most interesting thing I saw was Michael Turner's Facebook comments from the day he was cut. I thought it was just super classy and exactly the way you want to see guys leave if they're going to leave. And there are a lot of athletes that could take a page out of this book. Just share some of the comments here. This was on his official Facebook page. He said, I want to thank the Atlanta Falcons for the opportunity to be a part of something great. We accomplished a lot during my time here, and I will always cherish the memories and relationships I made. This is a tough business, but I understand the nature and respect the process. I also want to take a moment to thank the Atlanta Falcons fans. You guys made it easy for me to come to work every day and give you everything I had. Even though it's a tough day, I'm excited for what the future holds. thank you again to the Falcons organization. I wish you guys nothing but the best. Nothing but class right there.
And the same from John Abraham, too. I mean, yeah. I listened to two radio interviews, and I saw where he appeared on the NFL Network, and he had nothing but fantastic things to say about the franchise, mm-hmm. and he respected the way Coach Smith and Thomas and everyone handled his release. If it's going to happen, you love to see it happen this way.
Yeah.
You know, with these guys, being treated respectfully, and then they in turn do the same back to the fans and the franchise.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that was going to be my original one, but I've got another one that I wanted to share. Okay. So I saw this news story. I think it was from up in or around Pennsylvania, the state. I know we're talking about a big state here, but I can't remember the news station right offhand. But one of our cornerbacks, Robert McClain, is from up that area, and they were doing a story about him. He was in town, back in his hometown, signing some autographs at a mall and everything. And what the story was about was just how easily accessible our own Bobby Mack is. And Robert McClain, of course, if you're on Twitter, you know his Twitter handle, BobbyMack36. Robert will pretty much respond to everything.
Yeah.
Anything and everything. If you've got a question, anything like that, comments, concerns, anything like that, tweet it at him. He'll respond to you. I can almost guarantee it. And but the story was about how he takes it an extra step. And I bet that even you, Daniel...
Okay.
Who is a person who's very well versed in Twitter? Okay. Probably didn't even notice this about him, as I didn't either. Okay, but in his Twitter bio is, of course, his a little bit of information on him, where he was born, where he went to college, University of Connecticut, and Patuxent High School. Mm-hmm. Graduate, but also is his email address.
That's something else.
You can email Robert McClain. And the story was great. It was about how he sees every single one of these emails. It's a business email, so of course, his agent or publicist or whoever sees those, but he says he reads them every day. So he'll see your comments and everything, and if you're being negative, he'll delete you.
Yeah.
So just be forewarned.
That's
but if you want to send Robert McClain an email, he'll email you back.
I mean, How cool is that? All right, that is really cool.
So we'll give it out. Robert27McClain@gmail.com is the email address that he's got listed on his Twitter bio. And you can just send him an email, have a conversation. Talk about the Falcons. Talk about how great of a year he had.
Yeah. Give him some love.
I mean... How cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
I look back and I think, all right, when I was a kid. Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. You know, during the 80s, there was no cell phone.
Yes.
There was no email.
No internet.
I mean, we sort of had, but it wasn't like, no. Nothing like that. Okay, sports figures, even if they were from your hometown, were larger than life. Completely inaccessible. Like, if you were in their presence, it was like the biggest deal because there was no other way to reach them. So if you just happened to be like in the same zip code as one of these guys, it was huge, man. But now, in today's age, you can be as close as you want to be to some of your favorite football players.
Absolutely.
And that's just amazing. And not just football. I mean, this goes across the board. I mean, actors, actresses, different sports figures. And that's what I love so much about Twitter is that it makes the world just a little bit smaller. And this is one of those things where, you know, if you introduced this kind of technology back when I was a kid, I would have been...
Oh, yeah.
Robert McClain would have had to block me. Because I would have been, like, typing questions and saying, hey, good job, and, like... All this kind of stuff, and I know a lot of fans, certainly take advantage of that closeness and ask these guys questions. But I mean, that's just cool to me. You've got your email address in there.
But think back. I mean, and this is the beauty of it: is Robert? He obviously understands the potential impact he can have, or not even impact, just making somebody's day, just responding. Like if you did write to Robert McClain or anybody, whoever it was, when you were a kid. And you heard back from him, Can you imagine like how awesome that would have been? Like,
all right, I'll give you an example.
I have lots of them, but
I'll give you an example here. When I was a kid,
okay,
I was fascinated. Okay, let's not use the word fascinated. I had a huge crush on Kathy Ireland.
Okay, that's not uncommon.
No, I'm not uncommon at all. Right not there. Uncommon at all.
Right there.
I mean, she was everything back
then. Yeah,
absolutely. So I found a way. I think it was in my high school, or not high school, but middle school library. And they had like a book. They actually published books with like stars' addresses on it, like where you send fan mail. It was crazy. So I found this, stumbled upon this book, and I find, oh my God, there's Kathy Ireland. Like it's her, wherever her fan mail goes.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just whatever. I'm going to send her, send her something. Wouldn't you know, like 6-7 weeks later, I get a photo of her personalized and signed.
That's awesome.
Back in the mail. It was amazing. It made my young life. It was. I still have it framed.
Yeah.
And within my autograph collection. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
When I was a kid, you're 10 years old, or probably younger and a little older even, I spent, my hobby basically was just writing to baseball players.
Okay.
And I had all the team's addresses, and you just, you know, addressed, you know, your letter to that guy, and you know, in care of the team and their address. And I have numerous, I have like 30, 40 autographs of baseball cards. One of my favorite possessions, kind of similar, is I wrote to Chipper Jones, you know, former Atlanta Braves player, when he was a minor league baseball player.
In Rome?
After he got drafted.
Where was he at the time? Rome?
Could be. I think maybe Greenville.
Greenville?
I'm not sure.
Did he ever play in Richmond?
I'm
putting you on the spot.
Yeah, I don't even know, honestly. Quite possibly. I mean, surely, right? It was like a AAA affiliate at the time, I think. He wrote back to me, signed my card, and addressed it to me. And said, like, God bless or something like that. Chipper Jones. And I was just like, that is so awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that, you know, you think about the impact that these guys can have.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, the Kathy Ireland thing is something I'll always remember. You'll always remember the Chipper Jones story, and you've got other stories as well.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing that the impact that you know, these guys can have on people. And I think you look at Robert McClain and what he's done in the offseason. I'd love at some point we get him on the podcast to
that
talk about it.
That would be a great idea. Maybe we should email him.
We should. Invite him on the podcast. But I'd love to talk to him about his offseason, because he's been everywhere. He's taken a couple of trips to his to visit his high school, talk to the kids at his high school. He even introduced a brand new scholarship at his high school.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is awesome, awesome stuff.
Yeah.
But Bobby Mack's been everywhere, doing a lot of good with his offseason, so I'd love to highlight that.
Totally.
But, you know, again, just an example of like how cool a time we live in right now when, you know, you're just a couple of keystrokes away from talking to one of your favorite players. And even I'm on Twitter. I talk to these guys all the time, but if I get a reply from somebody, like, it's still pretty exciting to me.
Absolutely.
I'm a big Slipknot fan.
Right.
And I've met the lead singer a few times, Corey Taylor, and Corey actually retweeted me back during the Super Bowl.
Cool.
Cause he, I don't know how this happened, but he ends up following me. And so he retweeted me, and I'm like, oh my God, the lead singer of Slipknot just retweeted. I'm like,
that's awesome. Yeah.
So, you know, I still get jazzed.
The mayor of Atlanta follows me. Kasim Reed follows me on Twitter. And we've exchanged a couple of tweets about the Falcons, and that's awesome. I'm like, that's
cool.
That's pretty cool.
If you're seriously listening to this and you're not on Twitter, I don't know what to tell you.
You need to
get on there.
It's so much. I mean, it's a lot of good stuff on Twitter, and you get a lot of instant stuff, and you do have an opportunity to interact with some people that you otherwise may not get to.
Right.
A lot of great Falcons fans on Twitter as well.
Absolutely. Love our Falcons fam over on Twitter. All right. Well, we're coming up to the end part here, and we're going to wrap it up by giving you, I guess this is going to be our trend, our fabulous Falcons 5.
Yeah, the fabulous.
If we're just going to keep with the alliteration of Falcons Flash and whatnot.
We're so good at this.
But we are going to give you our 5 best free agent signings by Thomas Dimitroff. These are
in honor of the free agency beginning next week.
Yep. And honestly, our lists aren't all that different.
Yeah, and when you start thinking about it, you realize that there's not that many free agents that he's signed.
Right.
You know, because I went back, I wanted to check out like Thomas Dekou and some of those guys, they were re-signed before they hit free agency.
Yeah.
So.
technicalities.
Yeah, we're getting into. So here. Technically, he was never a free agent.
Right. All right. Should we? How should we handle this? You want to?
Well,
go 5-4-3-2-1 here.
Oh, I didn't really have him in a ranking.
Oh, okay.
You do?
Eh, somewhat. Not really.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're counting at home, I'm sure you can kind of probably assume that Michael Turner is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Dante Robinson, to me, is one of them. You agreed with me.
Yep.
For me, I think Mike Peterson is one.
Mm-hmm.
I think the impact he's had on the linebackers, you know, especially a guy like Sean Weatherspoon, we may never necessarily see some of that on the field, but off the field and how Sean's, you know, carried himself and how he's learning about the game, I think Mike Peterson is directly linked to that. I also have Matt Bryant, who was signed in the middle of a season. I think it was 2009. And he's so ridiculous. He's so ridiculously automatic with his field goals. And I have Robert McClain. That was my fifth guy. Just finding guys that no one's ever heard of, and he turns out to be a really quality player, and really came through for the Falcons in, you know, some quarterback pinches, I guess, in the middle of the season when we had some injuries and some struggles. So those are my five guys. You have everyone except one. You had Michael Turner, Matt Bryant, Robert McClain, and Dante Robinson. Then you have this fifth wild card.
Yeah.
What is that?
Had to go a little, because we were so similar.
Yes.
I had to go a little bit into right field for this one, but I'm going to say whoever signs this year.
There you go.
Would be, you said name your five best. I'm thinking more like five most important.
Yeah.
Certainly after the three releases this week, I would say, you know, whoever signs this offseason is going to be a pretty important addition.
I would think so.
You know, and we've heard from Thomas, and he says that the main focus is going to be on re-signing the Falcons' own talent. But you got to think every year Thomas is pulling out one or two, you know, guys who either
he's made a move. He's made a bold move.
Yep.
Every offseason.
So who knows what's going to happen this year, if he'll break from that tradition or not, but I'd say whoever he ends up signing in free agency this time around will probably be a pretty important one.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild, wild ride, and it begins on Tuesday next week.
Yeah.
Though I would say, I don't know that, I think I would caution Falcons fans to maybe not expect the Falcons out right out of the gate.
This is the thing that
but one never knows.
Every year, he
fools us every year.
You know,
we think we have it figured out.
All right, so free agency starts on March 12th.
Yeah.
Okay. You'll see some teams that come right out of the gate, and they'll be scheduling visits, and they'll be signing guys right away, and all that kind of stuff. And you're going to see that. Maybe the Falcons are part of that group. Maybe they're not. Okay, but when we get to March 15, 16, 17, and maybe there's no news, it doesn't mean that there's nothing going on, because we saw it last year. Everybody was like, what's happening? What's happening? And then he comes out of the box with the Asante Samuel trade.
Yeah, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Okay, so please, patience.
Yes.
If it doesn't happen on March 12th or 13th, or like, there's no reason to – free agency is a long period. Okay? Yeah,
this is true.
It's just the start of when you can start – of when you can sign guys. Okay? It has nothing to do with there's no deadline to it until you know, who knows, like week 6 of the regular season. Well, that's the trade deadline. But I mean, you can sign guys all over the place.
Yeah.
Just so, you know, let's not get carried away with, oh my God, it's March 13th and nobody said anything. What's happening? Are you guys even doing anything?
Free agency has been, you know, going for 2 hours and nothing has happened.
Right. But believe me, when the clock hits midnight on March 12th, I will be sound asleep.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because unless I'm told otherwise.
Okay.
But I will be asleep, and I suggest the rest of you do the same.
All right. Well, I will take that advice.
Yeah, there you go. All right. Well, what do you say? We wrap it up? That's it?
Yeah. It's Fast and Furious this week on the Falcons Falcon Cast
That's
podcast.
Right.
The Fab Five.
Well, we got to thank the fans again for listening to us. Always thank every the week.
Fans. Always thank
and,
them.
And we'll be back next week. What do we got next week? We got a special surprise in a couple of weeks, don't we?
We have a special guest. He is not a player, but he is a very popular member of the media.
I'm a little impressed that you were able to hook him. That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to say the name yet. Should we?
No, let's not.
Okay. National media member. A good. He's done some really great things with us in the past. It is not Pat Jasinskas.
We've already had him on.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely looking forward to talking to him, though. He's going to have some interesting things to say, I'm sure.
Definitely.
And we'll be recording it on the day after free agency begins. So
yep.
Maybe we'll have some even more interesting things to talk about.
Yeah, that's a day you don't want to miss.
Yeah, so. Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Falcons fans. And check in with us next week as we have another great show planned
absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely.
All right. Until then.